Yo, yo, what's going on, big dogs? Welcome into another episode of Adams Plus One. This episode features Katie Ernest. Katie is a speech pathologist who, through her social media platform, Katie's Culture, has established herself on Like to Know It, along with becoming a content creator for Candy Cloud. Katie is the sweetest and most lovely woman that I know. She just so happens to be my girlfriend. So she's welcomed here on the Plus One as my Plus One on the podcast, along with my real Plus One in real life. During this episode, we discuss Katie's journey to becoming a speech pathologist, her journey through social media and Katie's Culture, some of her hobbies, our relationship, and I put her through an intense round of rapid fire. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, please give it a share. Let's dive in. So what are we doing for dinner again? We're doing steak. I want to say we're doing steak fajitas.
Mm-hmm.
What are the vegetables?
Peppers and jalapenos.
What color are peppers? Do we have
red
both?
Red and yellow. I might add some onions in there, too, if we still have onions. We'll see.
And then what are we doing them on? Like a tortilla? The mission ones?
Mm-hmm. Tortillas, or I can put on rice.
I don't want any rice for the carbs. I don't need it. I'll just do...
We'll just do tortillas then. That's fine.
And then veggies, and then shrimp on the side. Are you going to do shrimp in your wrap, or are you going to do it on the side?
I'm honestly probably just going to have shrimp, steak, and then the vegetables.
Oh, you're not going to do a wrap?
I might have it on the side and just kind of rip it off. That's what I'll do.
Hmm. All right. Well, here we are. Here we are on the podcast. How does it feel to be here?
Feels good. Well, it's good. About time.
I know. It's good to have you on here. Nice and cozy at home. I'd say welcome in, but you live here, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This will be the most casual podcast you've ever had.
Our goal was when I got to 50, we made a deal that you'd be my 50th.
Mm-hmm.
Like 51st dates, you know what I mean? You've seen that movie, right? No?
Actually, no, I don't think I have.
Adam Sandler. Anyways, she can't remember anything.
No, I cannot.
Okay, so why don't we start with your career as a speech pathologist?
Love it.
First, before I ask you more questions about being a speech pathologist, just start us off with defining for listeners who don't know, what is a speech pathologist? What are the roles and responsibilities of a speech pathologist?
That's a very loaded question. Okay, so a speech pathologist is a person who specializes in speech, language, swallowing, cognition, voice, feeding. It's really a career that can cover a lot of different areas. I feel like when people hear a speech pathologist, they automatically think, oh, people who help kids work with their R's, people who help kids talk correctly. But in fact, we can do a lot more than that, and it is a way broader career than anybody would ever imagine. It's very cool. I feel very lucky to be a speech pathologist, but yes.
Yeah, when we first started dating, I didn't realize how important swallow was,
mm-hmm.
being a speech
mm-hmm.
pathologist. Okay, cool. Thank you for defining it. Now, why don't you tell the listeners what inspired you to become a speech pathologist for a profession?
Good question. Okay, so when I was younger, I grew up with a stutter. I still struggle with a stutter, as you know, and it might come out in this podcast. People might hear it. But I grew up with a stutter, and so I had a speech pathologist of my own growing up, and I never really knew what it was when I got older because I always called her, oh, she's my speech teacher. Shout out to Mrs. Neal if she's out there. She is a wonderful woman, and she helped me a lot. And then when I was in high school, I literally did not know what I wanted to do. I kind of was going back and forth between a biomedical engineer or something with like surgery, like, yeah, totally opposite ends of the spectrum. But I was talking to one of my friends one day whose cousins is a speech pathologist. And I'm like, wait, what is that? She's like, and then she explained it to me and I'm like, that is exactly what I want to do. And I was shook because I'm like, how did I never think of that when I literally had one of my own? So yeah, from there, that was junior year of high school. And then I ran with it. And yeah, that's where we are now. That's how I got here.
Yeah, I think one detail that you should outline is growing up, you couldn't who had hearing issues as a small baby, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why don't you talk about how that impacted?
Yeah, you? I was. Well, we don't know if it necessarily was correlated, but we would like to think so. I was born deaf, and I was deaf for the first 6 months of my life. So, and during the first 6 months of a baby's life, they get a lot of input, whether it be, you know, from family, it can just be environmental sounds, but I missed all of that. And so, yeah, so part of my thought and part of my family's thought is perhaps that could have contributed to my stuttering in some way because I missed out on that. We have no clue, though. That is just an assumption. I will say, though, my hearing is literally immaculate. I can hear a pin drop, so I don't know if that has anything to do with it either. But yeah, I'm very intrigued by sounds, and I can hear a lot of things.
And do you think that possibly if that did contribute to your hearing being, as you said, immaculate, how does that tie into eventually with singing? Because you have a beautiful voice. In fact, Katie actually just sang at church last night. Great job in a duet. It's too bad you couldn't pull the Kurt where you did both sides of the duet. Kurt from Glee. Katie and I watch Glee. And so, do you think that, or just talk about how singing has come along with your hearing and you have immaculate hearing. How does that tie into your singing? Does it cross over? Does that help you with your pitch? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I actually would like to think that it does because, I'd like to think that I'm a pretty good singer and I can hear just the slightest pitches being off, so I think that definitely contributes to being fairly good at singing and being fairly good at matching pitch. But yeah, I think that, yeah, I think it could have something to do with that.
For sure. Do you use singing when you're working with your patients?
I do. So actually, one of my favorite things to do in speech pathology is voice therapy. Actually, my career goal is to work in a dedicated voice clinic or kind of pilot my own voice clinic at the location that I work at currently. Voice therapy is just something that has always intrigued me, and I love that I'm able to incorporate singing and the anatomy and physiology of the voice that I personally love along with kind of the science behind it with my patients, if that makes sense. So yes, I do incorporate singing quite a bit into my voice therapy with patients. Yeah, it's great.
Do you have any stories of any patients that you've been doing this for close to 2 years, right? We're closing in on 2 years.
Yes.
Why don't you tell a story of your favorite person that you've helped, patient. Sorry, I'm over here. I was gonna say client. I think of clients, but
client. I mean, yeah, client, whatever. Right? Same thing.
Any patient stories that really in the first 2 years stand out, where you were like, "Damn, I did that," or because it's your first 2 years is really trying to figure out, "Can I do this?"
Yeah,
convincing
yeah.
yourself of that. So,
yeah.
Any moments with any patients where you've seen progress, and you came home, and I'm sure you probably told me about it, so I should remember.
No, yeah, I think. The ones that pop up in my head the most are those patients that have aphasia, a language disorder, and there's two different components. There's expressive aphasia and receptive aphasia, and the people with expressive aphasia have exactly that. They have trouble expressing themselves, right? So they have difficulty finding their words. This is typically related to a stroke or a traumatic brain injury or something. But yeah, so they just have a really hard time getting their words out. So there is something called melodic intonation therapy that I also incorporate with expressive aphasics, and that actually can help bring out their words because typically expressive aphasia is a stroke on the left side of the brain, and singing is a very artistic form of communication, if you will, right? I don't know. And that is, that brings in the right side of the brain that is typically unaffected in people with this type of aphasia. So I like using melodic intonation therapy to help bring out their words, because their singing is typically relatively intact compared to their speaking. It's very interesting.
Let me say this back to you. So on the left side of their brain mm-hmm. is where they're, let's just say, malfunctioning, right? They're having mm-hmm. an issue. Mm-hmm. So you tap into the right side of their brain mm-hmm. with singing mm-hmm. where they should be intact.
Yeah.
And bring that out.
Yeah.
Bring out their...
Yeah.
Give them an opportunity to express themselves.
Yes. I will say that it doesn't work for everybody, but it has worked for some people. And it is kind of funny, because we spend our sessions singing, and how functional is it? Maybe it's not, but I mean, to be able to have them express themselves in some way, even by singing, you know, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, at least it's something, right?
Yeah.
Compared to how they would normally sound if they were to just be speaking in a normal conversation. So, yeah.
What's the biggest piece of advice you'd give to somebody who's in college right now, finishing up speech pathology, before they go to work into a hospital like you are?
Ooh. Oh my gosh, that's a really good question. I think I would probably say, just in general, probably with any profession, but especially with speech, it is so hard to learn everything. And I put a lot of pressure on myself in school to try to get really, really good at the medical side of things. But if we think about it, I was learning from books or from videos. I wasn't really doing hands-on things like I am now. So I think my biggest piece of advice would just be to decrease the pressure and just, you know, go into your clinical or your job and just immerse yourself with that and learn everything on the job versus putting a lot of pressure on yourself while in school. I mean, it's important to be good in school, don't get me wrong, but you're going to learn a lot more hands-on when you're actually working versus in the classroom. I think that can go for a lot of different jobs, though, so, yeah.
Let's switch over and start talking about social media and Katie's Culture.
Okay.
When did you start Katie's Culture? On Instagram. Is there a story behind it? How'd you come up with the name? Run with that.
Okay. I love this. Okay. So I started my Katie's Culture Instagram in 2020 during COVID, when a lot of other people started their social medias. Katie's Culture was birthed from, like, the name was from one of my best friends, Kaylee. I call her Captions with Kaylee because she is a stud at creating captions and just creative names with everything. So that is how Katie's Culture with a K came about. And I created it just because I was always thinking that I wanted to have a platform that I could share literally anything and everything. So at the time, especially during COVID, I was sharing a lot of, like, my home workouts, recipes that I'd make, my nail designs when I was doing nails during COVID, trying to think of what else I would share. But, I mean, regardless, anything, right? So, and plus I wanted to create an Instagram like that because I loved looking at people's Instagrams like that, right? So if I loved watching other people's stories or looking at their posts about lifestyle things, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna do that too. And so COVID was the perfect opportunity to do that because we all had the time, right? And everybody was on social media in terms of, like, scrolling.
Because we're all stuck at home.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is the perfect time to do it. And so, yeah, I just did it. I dove in and I'm still doing it. And I love it so much. I love my Katie's Culture. It's like a baby to me. Yeah.
What avenues have opened up, like, since you started? Because I know, like, to know it, mm-hmm. is one of them, right?
Yeah.
Talk about Like to Know It. Talk about Candy Cloud. I mean, that's pretty recent, but give us some insight on how that happened.
Okay. Yeah, so Like to Know It is something that I applied for probably a year into my Katie's Culture. It started off more so with fashion because I love clothes. I love shopping. If any of you guys follow me on there, which you should, Katie's Culture. Anyway. So I shop a lot and I wanted to start, I obviously was sharing that. And so I'm like, you know what? What if I can start making commission from it? So Like to Know It was the perfect avenue for that. Essentially, you post something and then you say, link in my bio, and it's linked, and then you can go and shop exactly what the outfits or whatever you post. It can be anything. And you can shop and buy exactly creators' things.
Yeah.
And I follow quite a few people on there that I love browsing their stuff and I get a lot of inspiration from. So, yeah, so I applied for that, I got it, and now I'm doing it and getting commission, and my following on there is growing slowly, just like on my Katie's Culture, it's growing slowly, but you know what, it's great.
So that's Like to Know It, and
yes.
Then you're also, you've got some stuff going on with Candy Cloud.
Yes.
How did that happen, and take us through those events.
Yes, that is definitely a recent thing. I guess probably within the last year, I was an ambassador for them. They asked me to be an ambassador for them, I think probably around this time last year, if I remember correctly. So anyway, that was just, they gave me a monthly allowance, and I would go and purchase their drinks and then post about them once a month. And then January of this year, 2024, they reached out to me and said, hey, we would love for you to create content for us. So specifically for them.
And like what type of content? Lifestyle? What are we talking?
Yeah. So I guess lifestyle with their coffee, right? Yeah. So I think at first I took it maybe a little bit too serious, and I was making just solely coffee videos, like going in and just filming the coffee and whatever. But now I think I've gotten into a groove where I'm trying the coffees, or I'm trying whatever they have, or I'm taking it on a road trip, or taking it shopping with me. And that I think is what they pictured at the very beginning. They wanted a quote unquote face for Candy Cloud is what they told me. So yeah, I upload 2 videos a week for them, and then they can post it, and yeah, that's how that works.
That's another side revenue, side hustle, really.
Definitely, yep. I'm getting paid for that too, so I got a couple side gigs here. Love it.
You know, my take is this, right? Like, we have social media, and we have our lives. We're living our daily life,
mm-hmm.
and you love shopping. I know this because I live with you. You love coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You love engaging with other people that you like their stuff.
Yeah.
And so you take this journey where you say, I'm going to create my own page. And obviously, like, maybe 2 or 3 years later, but now look at where you're at, right? Like, you're going to do these things anyways. You're going to drink coffee. You're
right.
Going to go to Candy Cloud. Why not post it?
No, you're right.
But talk about breaking the barrier from going from being someone who didn't have her own social media page and then deciding to obviously start her own Katie's Culture,
yeah.
to now you're a, you know, I don't want to say collaborator, but someone who's at least engaged with or next to Candy Cloud, and you're on Like to Know It. What was that like to go from someone who was just a viewer,
yeah.
to now you are not only a user, but you're someone that is creating content, you know what I mean? Like, from a viewer to a creator.
That's a really great question. And,
and was there any barriers? Like, did you get negative feedback in the beginning? Were you, you know...
Yeah.
Especially, like, family members, they can think it's weird that, like, what are you doing with Like to Know It or...
Yeah, no, right.
But then you're at this point where now you're on Candy Cloud, right? They're
right.
reaching out to you and they want you to make stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's pretty reassuring, right?
It's really funny you ask that, because I'm thinking and I'm like, I honestly don't remember my life before Katie's Culture. I'm trying to think, because that was in grad school, or sorry, undergrad, where COVID happened. Yeah, to be honest, I don't remember not posting on social media. That is so funny. I guess I was just like everybody else without social media, or I guess I had my personal, which I still sometimes use, but I was just like everybody else, just posting fairly personal, normal pictures on there, I guess. Yeah. It's kind of like a, what is it, like an archive or like a time capsule, just to like look back at. But yeah, and then I guess I've been posting with Katie's Culture for four years, and it's hard to remember not doing that.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? I know, you asked me that question. I'm like, oh God, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. But anyway, I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, like any barriers when you first started, did people think it's weird? Like, what are you doing with Katie's Culture? How did you deal with any of that? Right?
Yeah.
Family members, friends, anything like that.
You know what? It's funny because my family and my friends have always been so supportive. I don't think I've ever gotten any hate about it. I think maybe a few of my friends might have thought that it was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
But I think since I'm still doing it today, they're like, oh yeah, that is just what she does, right?
Yeah.
And so, and my family's amazing. They follow me on everything. They buy from my like to know it. They talk about it every single time I'm with them. They always tell me if I influence them. Like, it's so cool and I love it. I wanted to say something else about that, but I forgot.
Okay. Well, while you think about that, there's a quote that comes to mind that I posted recently. But I love this post. I talked to you about it. And what it reminds me of, when I think of your story with social media, right? You start Katie's Culture. A year later, you do Like to Know It. A few years later, you're making commission. And now you're making money making content for Candy Cloud. It reminds me of this quote. It basically reads, you know, it's you need to be out there shooting, and it's about photography, but it's really about opportunities. If you're out there shooting, things will happen for you. If you're not, you'll only hear about it. So I think about that with your story. If you didn't start Katie's Culture, you wouldn't be where you were at in order to get an opportunity to be making content for, like, Candy Cloud, right?
So true.
Right?
So
I love that quote.
You've told me that quote before.
Right, because it's really shooting isn't taking pictures is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You'll only hear about it, but it's also just with putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
That's why I'm really proud of you. Like, when you came home and you first got the part with them where they made you an ambassador,
mm-hmm.
but then they're like, hey, we really like your stuff. And you were like, I think you should make the videos. I'm like, sweetheart, I think they want you.
I know. I was so nervous. I know.
They don't want some bearded guy at the gym like Candy Cloud, perfect for pre-workout.
Right. It's so funny.
Okay. Do you remember what it was you were thinking of while I gave you the quote?
I do. This is such a funny story, and it's so random. But I remember I wanted my Katie's Culture to grow so bad, and I still do. But I mean, I'm on there just for me, and then whoever's following me, I'm very thankful for. But when I reached 400 followers on my culture, I did a giveaway. I'm like, thank you so much for 400 followers. I'm gonna do a giveaway for, like, I think it was like a $30 Starbucks gift card, maybe 50. Whatever, regardless. I'm like, please, like, the rules were you have to like this post, tag two friends, or something like that. Just those two things. And so, and then I said in the caption, I'm not going to close the giveaway until I reach 500 followers. Thinking that, oh yeah, 100 followers is going to be so easy to reach with this. I had to stop the giveaway at like 450 because it ended up being like 3 weeks later.
Jeez.
I'm like, oh my God, okay, I have to stop it. I didn't reach 500 followers until like a year later. So I mean, you gotta start somewhere.
You
right?
do gotta start somewhere. And you know what? It reminds me of when, like, I haven't done one in a while, but like an Ask Me Anything on your story.
Yeah.
And then you close the story. You're like, I'll get at least 5 questions.
Yeah.
And then like half the day goes by and you're like, you got no questions. You start texting your friends. You're like, hey, bro, why don't you ask me that question? When they text you a question, you're like, oh, Why don't you ask me that question on Instagram?
I know. It's funny. It's funny.
All right. Well, that kind of concludes, I think, the social media portion. Something I want to talk about with you is some of your hobbies outside of social media and outside of work, because I live with you and I see all the hobbies that you have. All right?
Yep.
Fitness. So how does Katie's culture keep her sculpture? No, but for real, how do you stay fit?
That was so funny.
That was.
Okay. Yeah. So I've been lifting since I was a senior in high school. So how many years is that? 2016. So like 8 years.
Jeez, you're old.
I know, it's kind of crazy actually. But anyway, 8 years, I've been solely like bodybuilding, lifting, like those types of lifts. I mean, I by no means am a bodybuilder like you, but, the type of lifting that I did was definitely geared towards that.
Definitely not a bodybuilder like me. The other day I asked her to do a push-up and her triceps were sore and she couldn't give me one. I didn't let her leave the room until she gave me a push-up. Is that not true?
It's true.
I think that's how we started the morning.
Yeah. Okay, it was.
Keep going.
It was. So recently, within like the last 2 years, I've been pondering the idea of CrossFit. And so I have a couple friends who do CrossFit. Shout out. Addie and Eli. I was going to bring a friend days with Addie and I loved it so much, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not willing to pay the cost and I'm not willing to do the travel because it is a little bit of a trek from my house. But you know what? Last year, I think it was October, where I finally bit the bullet. I'm like, I am doing this. And so I ended up signing up for two days a week, and that is currently what I'm doing now. I go Wednesday and Fridays typically, and I absolutely love it so much. It's funny because I never thought that I'd love like the class type workouts, but I love how intense it is. The one thing I don't love about it is the whole competition aspect and how we have to input our scores into an app, which I guess we don't have to, but it is nice because it keeps track of like my PRs and stuff and my times.
What don't you like about that competition part of it?
It's just different. It's not something that I was ever used to with working out. I enjoy working out and lifting to stay healthy and for myself, so that type of competition thing.
The natural comparison that comes into place with putting your score.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Yeah. It was a little bit difficult for me at first, but now, I mean, it is what it is, right? So, but yeah, the CrossFit workouts are so fun and I'm enjoying it so, so much.
I will say it was really cool to go to the Open a few weeks ago and see that you've only been there since, what, October?
I think it has been October, yeah.
So we're in March. So like half a year. And seeing all the people walk up and watch you when you were trying to get your kip going.
Yeah.
And just seeing how encouraging. And people come up to me because, I mean, obviously I've been to one Bring a Friend Day. And I retired shortly thereafter. It was a great run for me in CrossFit. But people come up to me and they're like, oh, you're dating Katie. And just, I'm like, yeah, that's me. And seeing how positive people were about you and hearing about your progress, it was just genuinely cool. I felt like the cool dad in the background, like, yeah. That's my girl.
The community is awesome. I mean, you make a lot of cool relationships. It's just different. Yeah.
Yeah, but
cool.
You want to do something different, and I'm proud of you for doing it.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob. I should throw in there that I did not execute my kip, but hey, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So talk about other hobbies outside of fitness. What else does Katie do? It's a Saturday. What are you going to do? Give us the deets.
A Saturday all to myself.
Yeah.
Okay. So, what it looks like, or yeah, just my like, hobbies?
Inside of that Saturday all to yourself, what hobbies are you knocking out?
Okay. So, my hobbies will be drinking coffee in silence. I love a silent morning. Yeah. And then depending on the weekend, I will most likely be baking my sourdough bread. It's very therapeutic. I'll probably do some sort of shopping, whether it be online or I will go grocery shopping or, you know, Target shopping, just shopping for fun. And then ending it with watching Glee or something like that. Yeah. Some sort of show. Yeah.
And then you obviously will just randomly walk into the house after shopping, singing something, right?
Most likely.
And dancing around the house.
Always.
Why don't you... You talked about Kaylee a little bit ago, and I call her Creative Kaylee. When I talk about her, you call her Captions with Kaylee. It all fits. But with your hobbies, sourdough, I know that's something I think Kaylee kind of, right, she was doing first, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And then you picked it up. But talk about, we're in this hobby section, but let's talk about how, describe your best friendship with your girls. Who are your girls? And talk about this, like, you guys call each other soulmates. Why don't you just talk about it? It's such important part of your life.
I'm gonna start crying.
It's okay. But I think it's important. It's a huge part of who you are.
Yeah.
And I think it's just something that you should definitely lay out. Like,
okay. Yeah. So, shout out my girl, Kaylee and Anna Lee. I'm literally tearing up over here. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, they are my best friends from undergrad. They are both speech language pathologists as well. Anna Lee is one in New York City and Kaylee's one in California. So literally opposite ends of the United States of America. So crazy. But these girls, yeah, they're literally my soulmates. Like, our relationship is, and our friendship is unlike anything else I've ever experienced. We talk literally every single day.
How do you guys do it?
Via Snapchat.
Snap talk, right?
I swear we are the ones keeping Snapchat alive because I feel like nobody else Snapchats, like, ever. I'm pretty sure I got you on Snap talking when we first started dating. That is how we communicated. It's just so nice being able to see somebody's face and talk to them at whatever time you want to, right? Like, if I'm busy, they can Snapchat me and I can open it after work or whenever I get to it. But yes, these girls, they're absolutely everything to me. So their relationship is so special, and yeah, I pray that everybody has a friendship like what I have with those girls. So yeah,
what you three have is really beautiful. So I wanted to make sure we touched on it. How about we switch over and talk about our relationship? We can talk about our story. Mm-hmm. So I'll turn it over to you. How did we start dating, from your memory? And yes, I'll jump in to correct you when you mess it up.
You might have to. My memory is way worse than Adam's, to be honest. Okay.
Way worse than Adam's? Adam has a good memory. That's where we should start with.
Yeah, right? Okay. Anyway, yeah, I love our story so much. Okay, so let me see where to start. Okay, so we both went to the same gym. I've been going to the YMCA pretty consistently when I'm home. Obviously, when I was at school, I wasn't going to the Y. And then there was a period, I think after COVID, where Adam moved back home. And when he moved home, he was also going to the YMCA.
Yeah. Is that correct? And so before that happened, though, this was right after COVID. This was after COVID.
Yeah.
It was January 2021, let's call it, right? So COVID had already happened, all 2020. Mm-hmm. I started going to the Y right before I left for Arkansas, because the morning I was working out early and we were in busy season for public accounting. I just couldn't do the whole drive 30 minutes to peak, drive 30 minutes back, then drive to RSM. It was nuts.
Right.
So that's when I first saw you. But you obviously, that's just when we met each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
Then fast forward a year later, because I had moved to Arkansas and came back,
mm-hmm.
I started working out, and that's where your story kind of kicks in.
Yes.
So we knew each other a little bit.
Definitely. Of each other. Yeah, yeah. That is where I was going with that.
But
so,
we weren't friends by that. I wouldn't say we were friends.
No. You were just walking around correcting my form at times, but it's fine. Anyway.
Gotta help a sister out. You were a prospective girlfriend in the future, maybe.
Yeah, right.
Gotta keep it right.
He didn't know that I was in a long-term relationship at that point. But I think, yeah, in 2022, I had gotten out of a relationship, and we were at the gym like 3 months later, and we were just, you know, talking, and I'm like, okay, this guy's just correcting my form again, it's fine. And then one day he came up to me and he asked me how are you and your boyfriend? And I'm like, oh, like I'm not with him anymore. And that put a little bell in Adam's head. Okay.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah,
ding.
Right. So then I'm pretty sure it was the next day, or maybe I think it was the next day. Whatever.
Yeah, because we always chat a little bit, and then yeah. But then like we didn't want to. I didn't want to take up your time at the gym. Right. You didn't want to take up mine.
Because we're there to work out. Yeah. So it was pretty soon after he came up to me when I was at the Smith machine. And he said, I remember exactly what I was wearing too. It's so funny. Anyway, he asked me, hey, you want to go grab coffee to catch up sometime?
Because we're always talking in between sets, but we don't have a lot of time. But if you want to catch up, it'd be really cool to grab some coffee.
So I'm like, yeah, sure. So We went to Meg's. We literally talked for 3 hours.
Like, which, if you know me, that's crazy because I'm not one to talk.
Right. Now I know. Okay. But at the time, I'm like, my God, 3 hours. So anyway, I go home and my mom is like, were you just there for 3 hours? I said, yeah, 3 hours.
I was so hungry. I just came from the gym.
I know.
And I didn't expect it to go that long. And I was like the whole time like, you don't want to be rude because it's going well. And in my head, I thought you were into me. You were not into me.
No.
So, yeah, keep going.
I know. So then, I think it was, I don't remember the
I sacrificed gains for a girl that wasn't into me. You hear that?
Right.
Could have went home and got protein in me. Keep going.
Yeah, because that was definitely just like a friend catch up to me. Adam liked me, come to find out. So I think it was like a week later or something. I don't remember the timeline exactly, but did we go to Chick-fil-A? No.
Yeah, we went on a date to Chick-fil-A.
We went on our first date. He asked me on a real date. So that is when I'm like, okay, this guy likes me. So we went on our first date and it was great. Conversation was great again. And then after the date, we went to this beautiful like park, like nature area.
Yeah.
And he kissed me and I didn't feel anything.
No sparks.
I didn't feel the sparks. So at that point I had, I texted him, I think.
Well, actually what happened was the next day I was like all pumped up. Like, yeah, kissed her. Think she likes me.
Yeah.
So I texted you the next day and said, after seeing you at the gym that morning.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, hey, be great to see you again soon. And you basically wrote me this huge long text about how you didn't feel anything. You're a sparks and feelings girl, but that you wanted to be friends and didn't know how to move forward. Right. Basically like what kind of like leaving it in my court.
Yes.
So yeah, that's what.
I also want to back up a little bit. I think there was a time between the Meg's hangout and then our date because you would like text me really sweet things and like put like notes on my car. It was really sweet. I mean, in the moment.
I don't think the note on your car was before our first date.
Was it not?
No.
See, my memory's horrible.
Your memory is bad. So you had Meg's, and then we had our first date. Then you gave me the basically not into you, but whatever. But here's the thing. I had to go back to Arkansas and move my stuff still.
Okay.
So this is like early May. So I go back down to Arkansas, and I'm like, honestly, I'm good. I don't want to be the in the friend zone guy that gives a girl everything she wants. Except for the commitment of a, like, I have enough friends at that point. I'm 29, 20 years old. I have enough friends in life. But I knew we were going to see each other at the gym. So I wanted to be, you know, kind. So I was down in Arkansas, right? And then we hadn't chatted at all for like weeks.
And let me say, I think, yeah. So Adam put a hard stop after I'm like, okay, I didn't feel anything. I just want to be friends. And so, yeah, he did not talk to me. We did not talk for, like a solid month, wasn't it?
At least 2 or 3 weeks, yeah. But you did post on your Instagram story that you did, like, the Stairmaster after your workout.
Yeah.
Because I had mentioned to you that elite people knock out the stairs after their lift. And it was kind of a joke. But then you did it. And you posted it.
So I was subtly trying to, like, get him to talk to me. Because I felt like a void. Sounds so crazy, but
because who else could fill up 3 hours of your time talking?
Right,
me,
right.
The only guy, and you put me in the friend zone, and I said, "Sorry, sister,
yeah,
I'm out."
But I mean,
Adam's presence was something that I literally craved. It was wild, and I've never experienced that before. So I'm like, oh my God, like, what did I do? What did I do? So I think this was Memorial Day at that point.
It was my birthday.
Yeah, that weekend. Yeah. See, now I'm on the right track. Okay. We had gone, I had gone with my family, and I was talking to my sister, Emily, about it, and she's like, Katie, what are you doing? She's like, just give him another chance. Like, what do you have to lose? I'm like, you know what? You're right. You're right. If I'm wanting somebody's attention this much, something has to be, I need closure or something.
Emily described it as the slow burn, right?
The slow burn. Yeah. She's like, maybe this is just a slow burn. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we got back from my family's lake house that night, and I think that night I texted you and said, hey, like, I want to see you. Like, I want to go for a walk. Do you want to meet at Prairie Fields, which is where we typically walk? Just, like, see each other.
Yeah.
And you agreed. And we went. And was that the time we walked 7 miles?
Yeah, we walked forever. And then we probably walked it, like, twice. And then you were like, you basically, like, opened up and said, I didn't know. I thought you were honestly asking me to walk to be like, hey, I still want to be friends. And, like, yeah, can we still be friends? That's what I did not expect you to say that you liked me. And I was thrown off because I was thinking, what? Because,
yeah, like, I literally told him in the walk, I'm like, everything that I just said, I'm like, I crave you. Like, I crave seeing your name pop up on my phone, and when I wasn't seeing that, I felt, like, empty in some weird way.
First girl in my life to ever say they crave seeing my name pop up on their phone.
It was wild. It was wild. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody hears it, right? When you know, you know. And at that point, when I'm like, okay, something I just need something in this guy, and I'm like, when you know, you know, right? Like, yeah. that was, yeah, those signs were telling me, okay,
I don't think you would have felt that way had I just played along with kind of being in the friend zone. Mm-hmm. I really don't think you would have, because I think what would have happened is you would have gotten enough attention to feel content, you know what I mean, and not have to. Maybe eventually, but I don't know. I think putting a hard wall up like that, which was difficult for me, right? Because I at least thought this could lead to something really great. Like, this is a really great girl, but I didn't want to be in that. It's the worst, being in the friend zone, or being in the are you into me, are you not type of feeling. It's unknown. It's especially with my past, I'm like, nah, I'm good, dude. Right. I am good. So I think that actually helped out.
Perhaps, yeah.
Then, you know, you had to make a decision.
Yeah, so from there, it was pretty steady. We saw each other all the time. We'd go for walks probably like 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
I guess at that point, that was when you started writing cute little notes and putting them on my car. And like,
I put a cute note on your car before we went for the walk, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. And then I put this cute note on your car. Cute lyrics, and then it went right over your head. And Kaylee was like, bro, he likes you. And you were like, wait, for real? Yeah, he likes you.
Yeah. The lyrics to I want to say our song.
Fans Joy,
yeah. And yeah, I'm like, what does this mean, like, to the girls? And Kaylee said, Katie, he likes you, bro. Like, come on.
Shout out to the girls again.
Right, yeah. So that is where it all started. Yeah. I love it.
So you live with me, I live with you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go a little bit different. That's our story. We wrapped that up. It was a great story. And you did a good job.
It was okay.
I had to put the borders in there to keep you on track.
I'm glad you helped me out.
For sure. I got you. But you live with me. And you know me better than anyone because you live with me. What is something about me that only you would know because you live with me? What are some things? And then I'll answer that about you too.
I want to just like
kind of on the surface level, Adam is very heavy-footed. Like, he walks, I think, like, flat-footed or something, and he, like, drags his feet like a big old baby.
I let him know that I'm coming around the corner. The champ is here when I'm in the house, right?
Yeah, you can literally tell he's coming from a mile away with how heavy he walks. It's so funny. That's one. He also is very, like, he's very hyper-focused. Like, he can lock in on things and just disassociate from the entire rest of the world. Like, he is in his own world. It is sometimes frustrating because I'm trying to get his attention and I can't. But, that is another one. Hyper-focus and kind of a poor multitasker because of that. Also, this isn't necessarily having to live with you. I feel like anybody who knows you might know this too, but Adam has a story for literally everything from like a prior memory. Like something, we're watching TV or we're out on the streets or something, and he says, that reminds me of this quote or what Bill Burr said or something. He can, like a movie scene, and he can pull it up on YouTube right there. Like, you know, he knows the exact thing in the moment. It's wild. This guy's memory is unlike anything I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's funny because your family, too, they'll be like, we'll be at dinner, and your mom will be like, how do you remember all those movie lines? Or how that?
Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. And I think that relates back to the hyper focus, right? Like, you love learning and you give your full self to learning. So I think that, that is how you have a great memory. And crazy.
Which is why in college it was frustrating. Or not frustrating. I didn't understand how I could study with people, right? Because in class, I was so locked in because I'm an audio learner. Mm-hmm. So I could learn there and then do the homework review, right, and study a lot. I didn't understand how people had a hard time learning. But then I realized, like, they weren't hyper-focused. Now, when I've lived with you, you pointed it out. They weren't hyper-focused during lecture. They didn't hyper-focus when they studied. Mm-hmm. And I didn't study for 10 hours at a time. I studied for, like, an hour and a half at a time, took a break for an hour. The Pomodarian method that I was taught by Andrew. But anyways, it's interesting. I didn't learn. I didn't know I had hyper focus until I lived with you. I didn't even notice it.
Really?
Yeah. I just knew that I could. I knew like competitively that I could really lock in on something.
Yeah.
The whole day could go by, and I could just still be thinking about that.
That's
like
insane.
Learning. Yeah. I don't know. Just I thought it was normal. I thought when people said they're at the library studying, I thought that's what they were doing.
Yeah. Oh, and then one more thing. Not necessarily again living with you, but just knowing you as a person. And I've said this a lot when we first started dating is if you only know Jim Adam, he is a whole different person compared to outside of the gym Adam. So like when I first started dating Adam and like talking to him, I'm like, oh my God, this guy is like super nice and super like sentimental and like kind. Whereas like if you are to only know him at the gym, which is what I knew him as prior to like going out with him on that first date, he is a whole different person. And let me say, he's not very nice. He's not a very nice person at the gym. Probably again from that locking in. Crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, Adam Rasp, who I did the After Hours Club with, we're having a great time last weekend. And he said, yeah, I see Luke here sometimes at night because that's when Luke goes. And I had to ask Luke like a month ago, like, hey, is Adam okay? Is everything all right? Because he comes in here to do cardio sometimes and he looks mad at the world.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm there to walk and get my workout in and I just put these blinders on. And so, I don't want to, I almost put like, I told you, I have that happy, how do you do, come talk to me face. So sometimes I just don't want to talk. I just want to get on the treadmill at night when I'm doing cardio, crank that sucker to the incline and just get it done. Right. Cause you know me, if I start talking to someone, you've seen it. I come home at 7:30 PM for dinner and you're like, wow. Cause I started talking to someone. So I got to put the blinders up. You know?
Exactly. We talked a lot about this at the beginning of our relationship, but like our, what is our sign? Our
I'm a Gemini.
So I'm a Libra and Adam is a Gemini, and Geminis have two different personalities, right? And so that fits Adam to a T. Like, he has a gym personality and he has an every other time personality. It's crazy. But yeah.
Okay, so how about when I talk about you living with you, mm-hmm. something that people wouldn't know. Now, I don't think anyone's going to be shocked, but when I first started dating Katie, this was wild. You know when you first start talking to someone, become friends with them, start dating them, there's like the honeymoon phase where they're really nice all the time. Well, that wears off eventually, but not with Katie. I swear, if you called her at 4 a.m, she would answer the phone the same way she would right now, and she would say, "Hello, how are you?" And I remember when we first started dating, I was like, this is going to wear off, right? Nope. And then when living with you, like every day she comes home from work, she runs through the door. Hello, how are you? Oh, my God. She's like, no, she literally sprints from the garage door all the way down the hallway to my office where I'm working. Like a little kid excited to see me. It's insane. Like, that is the very truth.
It's really funny.
It's very authentic. So I would say that, yeah, you're always like that. It threw me off how much you like quiet in the morning. That we do not jive there. Because I want to blast music. And you are not about that life, sister. Right?
Yeah, no. It's just so overstimulating in the morning.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. But. What else? Oh, when we first started living together, I thought that there were only like 6 or 7 holidays in the calendar year. But then I started dating Katie and I realized on a normal Tuesday in March, you could have 4 packages show up because of some celebration. But there is no celebration. It's just a sport that she plays. Highly competitive. What do you call yourself, a shopper? You're a smart shopper?
Smart shopper.
She's the best, most efficient smart shopper. And there's a holiday coming around the corner next week that we'll have more packages at the door.
You are funny, dude.
What else? Katie's very particular about the house. I think I'm a clean person for a guy. Katie, next level. your sleeping ability. Nobody can sleep like Katie. Like, it hits 7:45 on a weekday, and she passes out on the couch like a wimp. You know what I mean? She takes a pre-nap. I call it pre-sleep. She sleeps from, like, 7:30 to 8 on the couch, and she goes and does her little routine in the bathroom. And then if she gets in bed at 8:15, she's out cold.
It's a true skill.
Yeah. By 8:20.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I wish I could sleep like that. It's incredible. Those are the things that come to mind. And then obviously you just randomly will run around the house singing and dancing. So, yeah. But no, you're awesome to live with. And
you are too, bub.
And now you're into football, so it's even better.
Yes. Adam has gotten me into football. I am a Lions fan through and through.
Shout out, Dennis. Detroit Lions right here, buddy. Like I told you last week.
I love a good Lions game.
Rapid fire. 15 questions. Rapid fire. Are you ready?
So ready.
Here we go. Favorite CrossFit movement?
Barbell snatches.
Who's funnier, me or you?
You.
Does your butt look better in jeans or leggings?
Jeans.
Beer or wine?
Wine.
Best vacation you've ever been on? Where'd you go?
Anna Maria Island.
Subject you hated most growing up in school?
Social studies.
Favorite color to wear?
Royal blue.
Favorite movie all time? Tick tock, tick tock. Come on. Favorite movie?
The Greatest Showman.
Oh, I've never seen that. Oh, yeah, maybe I have. Okay. You have to pick one that you haven't seen before, but you're going to go see it next. Which musical is it? You haven't seen it before, but you get to see it next. Which one? You pick one.
I've never seen it before?
Yeah, you got to pick it.
Oh, shit.
And you can do it preferably quickly.
Rocky Horror.
If we had to pick up and move right now, and you get to pick one city, where are we moving tomorrow? What city?
Ooh, I was going to say California.
It's not a city, Bubs.
That's a state. someplace in North Carolina.
Okay. Who were you more afraid of growing up, mom or dad?
Dad.
Favorite holiday of the year?
Christmas.
Best TV show you've ever seen?
Dexter or Glee.
Ooh, good picks. Cat or dog?
Cat.
Swim at a beach or hike a trail?
Hike a trail.
Boom.
Oh.
Good job. We did that pretty quick. Okay.
Did I say dumbbell snatches or barbell snatches?
I think you said barbell snatches.
Good.
You did good.
Barbell snatches.
Yeah. That was great.
That was fun.
Okay, so you wanted to talk about our relationship, and now we have some time here. What did you want to talk about? We'll tack it to here at the end. We'll toss it on the end.
I just wanted to talk about how special our relationship is to me.
Me too. So.
I just wanted to talk about, like, how, like, earlier I said, when you know, and how that, like, doesn't come by, or how I never really believed that, like, it doesn't come as easily to people, right? Just, like, how I feel like our relationship is pretty rare, right? So.
Because we're best friends.
I was literally just going to say that. Like, it's so, it might be so cliche, but, like, I literally feel like I'm dating my best friend.
I think our lifestyles really fit in terms of, like, I'm a homebody. I don't really hang out with a bunch of people, right? Like, you are my best friend. You're the person I spend the most time with. You know me better than anyone.
Right.
As opposed to, like, and it would work differently for, it works different for different people, but.
But, like, we're very supportive of each other and, like, as individuals, but also as a team. And we're, like, I always called you my value add only.
Value
everything,
only. That was our thing.
Yeah. Everything in my life is better with you in it. And that was something that I was really, truly striving and looking for after my previous relationship was every aspect of my life has to be improved with the next person that I'm with, or else it's not going to work. Because it's just, it's not, like, as we age, right, even though I'm only 26, I was 24 at the time when I first started dating you, though.
Yeah.
And it just, I mean, we don't have time for that, right?
Yeah, there's no games. We don't do that.
You were 29.
28, I think.
28?
Was I 29?
I think you were 29. Regardless, that is older.
Jeez, I'm old.
So, I don't know.
I agree. I do agree. I think that, like, Andrew, my little brother, was here the other day, and he was talking about how, oh, I don't know if I want to be with anyone. It's like, bro, you're 23, right? We talk about that. Like, at 23, you don't know how you're going to feel at 28, 29,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think timing is everything. Like, where are you at in your life versus where are they? Not age, but timing. Because if I would have met you when I was 24 and you were 24, I don't think I would have... We wouldn't be compatible because I just wasn't ready to be in a relationship where I was, you know,
right,
like all about my relationship.
Yeah.
But I do think we do a good job. What are some areas you think in the last year, like, give, it's not all sunshine and roses over here, right? I mean, well, I think we don't fight much at all. Like, we don't fight, but there are areas of our relationship that we have had to grow in. Mm-hmm. And what do you think maybe in the last year we've really grown the most in, or at least me, like, to be supportive of you?
I think just in general, living with somebody else is definitely a huge, it's a learning curve, right? Yeah. Just like having roommates, it's hard to have a roommate.
Yeah.
But yeah, living with somebody, you see a whole different side of them. You see how they sleep, how they clean, how they eat, everything, right? So,
I mean, I think me scrub the floors in those bathrooms and those toilets yesterday like a damn dog. Like, stood. I was back in my military days. I was scrubbing those toilets, dude.
I will say, Adam is very helpful around the house in terms of cleaning. And we did start this year, like, delegating more in terms of, like, mental load as well as physical load. And I think that is really important. So that is definitely a change that we've had is delegating more, not only the chores, but also the mental as well.
Yeah, I think it's important to be specific, and I think that's something we talked about. Like, if you want me to take the trash out, then I'll take the trash out, but it has to be defined. Because if it's right. Gray area, you know me, I'll let the trash pile up before I take it out. I will keep pushing it down.
I know he's going to break our garbage over there, jeez.
I do think one thing about a relationship, when you talk about things, it being special, I'm very grateful for, because I mean, I hadn't had a real girlfriend. It's not like I had a fake girlfriend, but I hadn't been in a real relationship exclusively before we started dating for like 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But even before that, and I see it in some people's relationships, or at least I hear about it, we're not competitive with each other at all. Like, there is zero, it's all supportive.
Absolutely.
I think that is like the most genuine thing I could say. Like, I don't look at you and go, oh, you did that, I have to do better. Or,
yes,
I make this much money, I got to keep making more than you. Or, you have to make, like, there's none of that in our
Absolutely.
Relationship. There is nothing. It is literally, like, teammates. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? You feel the same way, right?
I 1,000% agree. Just because, yeah. I mean, you were in relationships like that. I was too. And it's exhausting. It's exhausting because they're not supportive of you because they feel threatened by you. But, I mean, it's just not healthy. So I think we're very lucky in that aspect that we're genuinely supportive and like we're excited for each other when someone does good, you know?
Yeah.
You come home and said you have a great ass pump and I'm like, yeah. I'm not like, what can I do to get better too?
Instead, Katie sat on the couch all day and she felt great about it. She did not sit on the couch all day. It's an inside joke that it's because every time I walked in the house today, she was in the same spot on the couch, but that's not really how her day went, right? I am totally kidding, but
yes.
But
yeah.
No, I agree.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, we got one more question.
Oh, what's the question?
It's the closing question.
Let me hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, by the way, I didn't say it, but now that whoever's sticking around, Katie didn't know any of those rapid-fire questions.
No.
She had no idea those were coming.
Those were actually kind of hard.
You could probably tell because it took her forever to spit some of
those out. The movies and the musicals are so hard just because there's so many, and I'm also not a huge movie fan.
And her memory isn't great because the whole time we've been dating, she told me that Inception was her favorite movie. And then I was watching it yesterday because I thought, oh, this is my girlfriend's favorite movie. She comes in the room and I'm like, don't you love this movie? And she goes, I don't think I've ever seen it before. And she realized it wasn't Inception that was her favorite movie, but it was, what was it?
It was the one with Denzel Washington.
Equalizer.
Equalizer.
Embarrassing, dude. I've told so many people my girlfriend's favorite movie is Inception. But anyways. All right. Let's get to the closing question.
Okay.
Okay. I brought up the girls earlier, so I'm going to bring the girls up again.
Yes.
If you three, I know you're going to go on a trip and hang out in California, mm-hmm. but I get it. You're doing that. But if you could do an ideal trip with the girls, you plan it out. It's all you, and you know they'd both love it. What would the trip be? Give all the details because they're going to listen and they're going to want to know. And you can even customize it like, oh, Annalie likes this and Kaylee likes that. And yeah. Go ahead.
So in a specific place, I honestly think California would be the perfect place to go. Just because, I mean, in terms of the United States, right? We're just going to put it like that. Like, the weather is perfect. Kaylee literally, I mean, she's so lucky to live there. But I think just in general, being in non-humid weather, which California is, something to do with hiking, because we all like being somewhat active, and Kaylee loves hiking. We'd go to church for my girl, Annalie, and me too. Kaylee's also getting into church too, which is pretty cool. We would definitely hit up a grocery store because we all love browsing the grocery stores. And then we'd eat some cool, interesting, exotic food because we're all pretty much foodies too. Yeah, I think that would be how it would go. That is a single day, right? In terms, yeah, that, I don't know. Is that a good answer?
Hey, it's the closing question for this round, so it is what it is. I think it was good. I sat back on the couch. It's all good to just relax and let you close it out. So that wraps up episode 50. We brought Katie from Katie's Culture on. Go give her a follow on Instagram. She's not only the plus one of this episode, she's the plus one of my life. Thanks for coming on, babe. Aww. I love you.
I love you too, bubs. This is fun.
Now that this is over, you can go make that dinner.
Okay.
That's not really how I talk to her.
Sometimes. No, I'm just kidding.
Deuces.